Well, it's May the 11th. Welcome to the Border Patrol Journal. I'm Tom Tass, flying solo this week because my co-host is on holidays and he'll be returning in 2 weeks. In addition to that, we didn't have a broadcast last week because we had some other technical and personal issues to deal with. So sorry for that. In the meantime, lots has happened in the Border Patrol community's calendar, and a lot is happening at the moment, particularly if you are in the United States watching our broadcast today. And going forward, it's the end of Title 42, and that will have a severe impact on the migration refugee programs in the United States. We don't know how this will end. The numbers are quite overwhelming at the moment on a number of people who are predicted to enter the U.S. over the coming days, and how the administration will deal with it. This is, of course, up to the future to show. We don't understand at our end what the end game here is, because it has yet to be explained why the numbers are going to be able to be absorbed into the communities around the U.S. and what the Biden administration's purpose in dealing with this as they are. It is what it is. Unfortunately, only time will tell what will be the result when all is said and done. Much is happening in other parts of the world as well, but of course the war in Ukraine is of primary importance to many at the moment, particularly in Europe. But the global economy is very much being impacted by the unintended consequences of the Ukraine war. And so we will be following that in the weeks and months to come. But back to the U.S. at the moment, the headlines are really quite disturbing, where the Border Patrol has said today that the dam is about to break on the number of people coming into the U.S., that the end of Title 42, according to former President Trump, is going to be a day of infamy. The U.S. Border Patrol Union is sending a warning ahead of the migrant wave that there's going to be serious enforcement operations in Texas, and they're not sure how that's going to be dealt with. The Border Patrol is authorized to execute safe releases into the U.S. as shelters and facilities are overwhelmed. This morning on the news, the U.S. Was reporting that the safe release means that essentially once the migrant enters the U.S., because of the direction from Homeland Security, it'll simply be released into the U.S., period. That seems to be a situation which is trying to release the pressure that will inevitably build up on the border with literally tens of thousands of migrants rushing the border. The mass release of illegals, across illegals as they call them in the U.S., undocumented, whatever, will be at bus stops and gas stations, supermarkets, and many predict there will be serious chaos. Of the headlines this morning, the Biden administration's release of migrants into the U.S. has many saying that there's no way to track these migrants once they've announced they're in the U.S., or once they have been admitted into the U.S. And so it is going to be quite a day and perhaps a week going forward for the border management, refugee management community in the U.S. And many of us are watching this with some trepidation, because the impact is unknown at this point in sort of broad terms. So we're somewhat obviously concerned, and we wish our American friends every luck on this one, because this is going to be a serious issue going forward. And I'm not sure if anybody actually has a roadmap on how this will turn out. Internationally, the U.S. announced that you no longer need proof of COVID vaccine to get into the U.S. Number of Ukrainians who've received temporary protection abroad now exceeds 4 million. Japan has determined, that they're going to tighten immigration policy, which is enraging NGOs in Japan and elsewhere. Japan's immigration policy has always been rather narrow, and so this is not a real surprise to us here at Borderpol. There are reports that Colombia is suspending a repatriation program of people claiming to be U.S., claiming to have U.S. mistreating the migrants. We'll see how that goes. And what else have we got? Heavy gunfire has been reported at a bridge at the far Reynosa International Bridge somewhere in the U.S. We're following this one as well. But of course, we're a weekly broadcast, so whatever I'm telling you today, we'll be able to catch up on what's happened and bring you up to date next week. The second area of interest that's come across our desk this week is from CETA, which, as you know, is the organization that reports on the airports and the data from airports. They've also got a particularly efficient and effective networking system. And they have decided to publish what they think is the trends going forward for the next number of years in Passenger Terminal World, which is a magazine which is sent to us when it's published by the organizers of this annual meeting. And we thank them for providing Borderpol this information. At the moment, the trends that they report, and I'm just going to read them to you right from the magazine that we received, is they got 10 basic trends that they're looking at in the coming years. And the first one is that there'll be a shifting of staff culturally, and there'll be a great resignation, a wave as profound as the pandemic was. According to CETA's report, airports and airlines will have to restructure the workforce using technology to work differently. Technology means more scalable operations and upskilling employees to support these changes with more significant focus on service. The second trend is the millennial and Gen Z travelers. Younger travelers demand a more integrated digital journey, and the industry will be forced to respond. They will accelerate the digital way of life and popularize fringe technologies by 2027. Now, what these fringe technologies are, I do not know, but many of them are frequent travelers who are self-service first and leverage biometrics and digital passes for travel efficiency and convenience. Of course, they conveniently overlook the privacy and data protection part for the ability to have a quick and easy transit through airports or through borders. But that's a whole other issue, of course. Although trend number three, they say, is privacy, digital identity rights, and control for passengers. CETA says that we are moving toward a future where passengers can travel from anywhere to everywhere without ever needing to present travel documents or stop to confirm their identity or check in, cross border, or access any number of services at their destination, all while keeping control of where and when the data is shared. Well, that's interesting. Even though CETA believes that digital identities are a key enabler of digital travel, they must be more secure and trustworthy to be a true replacement for the physical equivalents. We couldn't agree more, but we're not sure at this point how well the average administration of these systems around the world is dealing with it. The fourth trend that they focus on is the aging traveler. It's said that older people will be traveling more because they have the time and the disposable income. And this will deepen the demographic of aging travelers who require more assistance throughout the journey. Bespoke technology solutions and bolstered by human resources at airports will be dedicated to supporting the aging traveler, by 2030. Now, I'm not sure I like the term aging traveler. We all age from the day we're born. I'd rather they'd say seniors or retired persons traveling. Be that as it may, trend number five is the full digital economy. Airports are looking to fill revenue holes caused by the pandemic, which clearly was a pretty big hole and a large gap in revenues by airports, as well as the services that are offered to travelers at airports. Focus areas for most of them are enabling mobile payments, improving personalization, and growing ancillary services. Mobile commerce and what they call buy now, pay later services will drive e-commerce growth and transform purchasing experience throughout the passenger journey. I'm not sure how much of the buy now, pay later is going to work as interest rates go up and less disposable income as a consequence is available. And I mean, even then, whether or not the cost of borrowing the money to travel now and pay later will be worth it, but we'll see. Trend six is the flattening of business organizations. Automation and the emergence of smart airports will give rise to new flattened business organizations, eliminating the more mundane and laborious work through technology. Well, we'll see how that works, because technology, while it sometimes does solve a problem, other times it causes more chaos than facilitating travel. We saw it during the pandemic, particularly in Canada, at the airports, that a lot of the automation really didn't do us a lot of good in terms of smoothing out the ability to enter passengers and transiting or entering the country. Trend number seven is airport operations in metaverse. Now, by 2030, metaverse operations will be commonplace at leading airports, will play a vital role in optimizing processes, avoiding disruption, and facilitating intuitive, immersive control of intelligent airports. Well, I suppose that means that we're going to have more possibilities for understanding how airports function and what they're able to do when there is a crisis or what have you. But we'll see. This is an interesting observation. Trend number eight, multimodal travel. Over the next 7 years, a seamless intermodal travel emerge with single processing and verification points that enable fluid end-to-end journey across land, sea, and air. There will be a push to enable more connected journeys with sustainable operations and new collaboration models using trusted data exchange for the broader end-to-end travel ecosystems. Without getting into the mumbo-jumbo of it, what it means is you'll have some kind of a seamless system where you get on the plane in airport A, travel, get off the plane in airport B, and continue your travel on land services, whether it's a metro or some other convenience, and never have to perhaps pay anything along the way. It'll be built right into your ticket. That's just my understanding at the moment. Then there are other trends that they talk about, like the autonomous electric vehicle growth by AI and 5G. Automated intelligence is already getting plenty of attention by folks who are getting somewhat skeptical about how much good AI will be for humans in general going forward. You've read that and heard about it in the news. Trend 10 is sustainability. See the things that by 2030, sustainability will be at the heart of travel. And during the next decade, scrutiny over the entire aviation industry supply chain will increase. Using data to understand the drivers of emissions across the air transport ecosystem, read green energy here, will be part of this trend. Trend 11, supply chain transformation. The travel industry will experience a sharp shift from simple forecasts and demand plans to an agile supply chain based on real-time data. And finally, urban air mobility. According to CETA, by 2032, which is only 10 years away, electric air taxis will be common at major international airports, operating as an effective auxiliary service and revenue stream for airports and airlines. This is akin to the flying cars that were proposed when I was growing up That was a long time ago, and there's still no flying cars. But, you know, everything is possible, and we shall see what we shall see. That is the part of today's tech report, you might say. As for the following projects that we have on board with Borderpol, I thought I'd bring you up to date that we were planning to have an interview with a law enforcement official about the impact of today's environment on the law enforcement community members and the discussion about PTSD. We're still looking at having that interview with a well-known author, and I will bring you up to date on that in the weeks to come. We're also looking forward to other interlocutors with Borderpol to talk about where we're going forward in the next months with our planned workshops and the annual forum for the fall of this year. We're hoping to negotiate a new contract with a event developer, and we'll see how that works out. In any event, if you like what you see and hear on the Borderpol Journal, do please let us know. And in the interim, drop us a note at borderpol@borderpol.org with some ideas on how you want us to proceed in the next month or two, particularly over the summer when people have other things to do besides worrying about, you know, how their borders are doing, because they want to actually cross the borders and go on holidays. All right, this is for May 11th, and we'll see you next week. In the meantime, stay safe, stay well.